Welcome. I'm your host, Andrea Maximo, and you are listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast.
We are back with another episode. This time we are talking to another one of my very best friends, a brilliant sensual embodiment coach, an amazing mother, an extraordinary, extraordinary friend, Sam Fisher. Sam and I actually met a really long ass time ago, I think almost over 16 years ago, when I was teaching at the S Factor in Los Angeles, which was the very first studio that I ever learned sensual movement in. And I studied directly with Sheila Kelly, who is the founder of the studio. So Sam was my student, and she went on to become a teacher, and a brilliant teacher at that, and has gone on to help Sheila directly now with her retreats that she's been doing. And she really, I'm just so proud of her as someone who was her former teacher and then became one of her best friends. Like, I am so incredibly proud of her. So I'm excited to have her on here because I think she's going to have an amazing point of view for moms, in particular in regards to our erotic energy and tapping into it and doing so in a realistic manner that actually fits into the real lifestyle that moms lead, right? I know a common question I hear from moms or I will get in my DMs is, but how do we embody this sensuality on a daily basis, you know? And it doesn't necessarily entail you walking around in lingerie all day long, obviously, but there are ways, and Sam is going to break it down. So who is Sam Fisher? In her words, I am an entrepreneur and certified intimacy and sensual embodiment coach. In 2006, my life changed radically when I took an embodiment movement class in hopes to spice things up in the bedroom. Truth was, I needed to embark on a journey within myself, a journey of self, love, and exploration. Years of exploring myself and leading women through movement to learn about what makes their bodies tick inspired me to create the Sweet Spot Life, a place where all things come together inside and outside of the bedroom. I use movement, theta healing, and erotic blueprint coaching to help women better understand and connect to themselves sensually, sexually, and soulfully. Yes, my girl, I cannot wait to get into this conversation with you. Grab your pen and paper, take some notes. There's some good shit. Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Oh my goodness. Y'all, this is like one of my best friends. I have a very tight ass circle. I'm such a true Scorpio. I love a lot of people. Right? I love a lot of people. I'm endeared to a lot of people. There's a lot of wonderful people that I just adore. And I have a very small circle. That's just a Scorpio in me. And Sam is one of those people. And I think I said it in the intro, but I think Sam, how we met is always an interesting story. And I think it actually, it's perfect for the first question, just leading into, you know, what this sensual movement did for you. So y'all know who she was because you heard it in the intro, but Sam originally first came to me when I first met her. I was working at the old studio where we were in LA, and Sam was a student there, right?
Yep. I'll never forget it.
You remember that? You remember that? What won't you forget?
Like it was yesterday. I remember sitting down on the purple mat and going around the room, and everyone was supposed to introduce themselves and why they were there. And I said, I'm here to bring my sexy back. And that was when Justin Timberlake just released Sexy Back. And
oh my God, that's right.
I was like, yeah, give me some of that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And oh boy, was I in for a rude awakening. Not even a rude awakening. I just... what I walked into the studio for, I did not realize what I would walk out with.
Right, right. So. Now, just to give you all a little context, I mean, it's fine and we can say it here because there's no ill issue there at all on my end. The studio we're speaking of that we came from is S Factor in Los Angeles. Very well-known studio, and Sheila Kelly is the founder of S Factor, and she was my mentor and the person who taught me how to body whisper and see and, you know,
indebted to her forever and ever. So this was the studio that Sam and I first met in when I was first beginning as an essential movement instructor. Now, let me tell you what I remember.
Okay? Oh, I can't wait.
She was definitely, this energy was still there. She was very big. She had, you know, she's outspoken, say what she got to say, put it out there. I'm here to bring sexy back. But energetically, you were different. Mm. There was, your light was out.
Totally. Dead.
Yeah.
Asleep, yeah. Maybe. I'm not sure. Like somewhere in between, dead and asleep.
So tell me, what was happening, if you can, at that time in your life, if you want to share, as much as you want to share, as a wife, a mother, a woman, that drew you to come to that class?
Well, I had just had my second baby. I had a boy and a girl. She was 5 months old. I had seen S Factor. I had seen Sheila on Oprah after I had my first. And was like, oh my God, I want to try this exercise. It looks really fun. And never got the courage until after I had my second baby. And, you know, it was just, I think I was 26 when I had my second girl. And I was like, this is hard. Who am I? I don't know who the fuck I am. Also, I'm being told that I should be this person, like I'm a mom now, so I should be clean, or I should be like this, or dress like this. And I'm like, but I'm 26 years old. And
hold on, you were 26 when I met you? You were 26?
Yeah, 26, 27. Yeah.
Because you had just had your second, Dakota, right?
I
didn't mean to say her name on the show.
It's fine.
Okay. And I know you're very transparent with them on social media, but you were 26, Sam. I look at 26 now and I'm like, that's a baby.
A baby. I was a baby having babies. Maybe I was 27, but I was young when I had my kids. So I was like 23 when I had Billy. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're just saying the names. But I am transparent so you are.
Know
all the things. But I was lost. Who am I? I don't know who I am. I'm now this child's mom. I don't even have an identity. Nobody even knows my name. I'm this mom. And you know, how do you figure out like who you are? If you're not even, you don't even have an identity of like a woman. You have, oh, you're Billy's mom. Oh, you're Dakota's mom. Right, oh, right. You know, like, great. And so then I'm trying to be a wife and I'm trying to figure out who I am. So originally I walked into that studio and thought, I'm going to spice things up in the bedroom. Like this is going to be great and benefit my relationship tenfold. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I was getting in a journey for myself.
None of us ever do. We all walked into that studio. I walked in the same way. I was a student at one point. And we all walk in thinking, I'm going to do this. Most of us, I'm going to say, a lot of us, okay, walked into the studio thinking, I'm going to do this to bring some sexiness into the marriage. You know, reading too many of those stupid Cosmopolitan magazines. Stripping is where it's at now, ladies. You know, let's do a little Valentine's thing. And we all walked in with that intention. And we all, I think many of us also in that moment were like, oh, this shit is ours, right? Oh,
I didn't have to be anybody's mom. I didn't have to be anybody's wife for two fucking hours. I could shut off, phone off, done. No responsibilities but me. Mm-hmm. It was the best time of my life. And love being a parent, but it was the best 2 hours of my week.
But this, I think this is important because again, even the fact that you have to preface it and say, I love being a parent, like,
right.
It's the guilt that we immediately go to make sure people know that I love being a parent, but I'm also really happy to be away on Mother's Day. I love my kids and I'm really excited that they're not home right now, you know?
Yeah.
And I really wish we could normalize moms enjoying time away and not having to make sure everybody knows that she loves her kids just because she enjoys being away from them.
And what's so funny is that, like, that's the work that I do with my clients when they tell me right. something and then they add in that. I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. But it's so true.
But we're all doing this. Like, you know, oftentimes somebody just said this, my advisor, my spiritual advisor said to me every day, I said, well, I said, da 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 da. And he just looked at me and goes, oh, did you? How about you say that to yourself? I was like, all right, you don't have to get aggressive about it. I was like, damn, you're right. And I was like, that was good. He's like, damn, it was good. You should listen to yourself. So, all right. So you're in the studio, you know, you went through two levels as it moved in levels. So we're like 6-7 levels, right? Yep. And give me tangible examples of how this sensual movement, and hold on, before everybody, you know, if you don't know what this is, because a lot of people don't know, right? There's right. people who are following me who have not taken my class. There's people who aren't, you know, different modes of sensual movement are out there.
Yes.
What Sam and I come from, what we come from originally was a style of movement that I would say was like intuitive movement, right, Sam? Because
yeah, totally.
Right? Good. You explain it to them. They hear me talk all the time. You tell them what it was. What was it they taught us to do back there?
They taught us how to trust our bodies and allow mm-hmm. our bodies to take over and lead us. Turn off the mind. Mm-hmm. Let yourself get connected to your body and just mm-hmm. go. They gave mm-hmm. us a base. Here's what you mm-hmm. could do. And then as you get really comfortable in that and you start to feel how the music takes you, you know, allowing your body just the freedom to move the way that she's supposed to, the way that she wants to, not even supposed right. to, the way that she wants to. There is no right. supposed to.
And it's, you know, it is a style of, I mean, I guess you could say an intuitive or interpretive dance, but it is done in a mode that actually is based in erotic dance though. Okay. Yes. Because a lot of the influence of where Aspector came from Sheila's time studying the dancers in the clubs for a role. Right. So that movement was, you know, she intertwined it with other things, but that movement was the catalyst for this. So, you know, make no mistake, y'all, that, you know, there are going to be moves that are reminiscent of things that you've seen possibly in the clubs, because it is erotic. And there's a reason why we're wearing those big shoes, the pleasers, right? That started in the club. So, yep. you know, this is why we also don't drag dancers. We don't drag the sex workers on any of my platforms, because, no. you know, I respect these women and these are jobs that they've chosen to do. And they are owning their sensuality and their sexuality in a way that is empowering them. And I support them 1,000%. Back in the days, we would actually take classes. Remember that, to the clubs?
Yes.
Oh, so fun.
Yes.
And we Amen. Would just make it rain, just showering money down on these. They loved it when we came, because we were so good God. To them. We were so kind. And, you know, we screamed and for everything they did. Every trick they did, we just lost our shit.
It was the best. It was the way that yeah. it should be. It's so... Yeah. Amen yeah. to all the women.
Yeah, they really loved it when the S girls came through to see them. So you're in class. Tell us like some tangible examples of how this sensual dance transformed your life.
It taught me how to trust myself, to trust mm-hmm. my intuition, to be comfortable in my body, to love my curves, every mm-hmm. ounce of them, mm-hmm. To look at them, to look at my body in an appreciative way. Like, whoa, you gave birth now to 4 kids. Like, mm-hmm. holy shit, you're amazing. It taught me how to be in, I'm trying to think of like the word to, first of all, it taught me what feels sexy, not what mm-hmm. looks sexy, but what mm-hmm. feels sexy, like my hair dragging across the back of my neck. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You know, it taught me to be more present in the sensations of yes. everything, of touch, my own touch, the touch of clothing against my skin. You better bet I'm not putting anything that's itchy or disgusting on this motherfucking body, because she will be insanely unhappy. So she lives in nothing but the good soft things and delicious textures. And I probably find myself walking around like touching myself because why not?
No, for sure. I'll never forget it. I was standing on Ventura Boulevard, like on the phone after class. And I'm like on a cell phone and I'm just like very casually with one hand on my breast, like rubbing.
Totally.
Just talking, like just rubbing my body on the streets of Ventura Boulevard, which is a very, very busy street in Los Angeles in the valley.
Yes. I'm like walking around. I'm like, oh my God, this ass is so great. And I might just
She's
like,
actually standing up, y'all. She's standing up right now and feeling her ass.
I mean,
is amazing. This is what this movement does to you.
This is what it taught me. It's what
oh
it taught
me. Oh my God. Listen, there's a TikTok challenge called the drop challenge, right? Where they're dropping down on the floor to the Beyonce song. And I keep saying, I want to get a bunch of women who take sensual movement classes to be like, because this is what happens. Because we always joke that you're never going to stand up the same way again. You're never going to walk down the aisle in the supermarket the same way because now your ass is moving slow. Your back is arched. You're feeling yourself, you know? Oh my God. But you know what, Sam? I feel like the other piece that I want them to really, you know, hone in on the transformation that, you know, you experienced was what was it specifically? Because I think a lot of people can say, well, there's lots of things that are going to promise you that. What was it that this specifically did that, what do you think was it about sensual movement per se, done in this particular manner, that got you to that place in, let's say, belly dancing or burlesque or some other things? And they're all amazing. I'm just curious what you think this was.
For me, and because I can only speak to myself, right? It brought me into a really deep love of myself, which I feel transforms into everyone around me. So I just... Dakota turned 16 the other day, and I was reflecting back on what my life was like with her for the last 16 years. And holy fuck, it was a beast. And you know, because you were by my side, we butt heads left, right, center, up, down, everywhere around.
Spicy.
For fucking years. Years.
That little girl was spicy with you too. She had a little attitude.
Fuck, right? So I love her so much, but you know, I realized like she's my mirror. She's my best and my worst parts of me wrapped up into one. And then you have to fucking look at that shit. And who the fuck wants to look at your best and worst traits all day, every day, right? But what movement taught me is how to so deeply love myself by slowing down, by taking the time, by grounding in my breath and grounding in my body. And that like brought me present to the moment, brought me present to what's happening with myself, most importantly. And so then I was able to like just fall deeply in love with myself. Like, oh my God, okay, this is great. Like, we're living a great life right now. This is a beautiful body. It feels good. I feel good. And in turn, I was able to love everybody else on a different level because I could see myself, all the things that we might think are flaws, and then all the amazing things. And I was able to love the flawed parts, so to speak, which who the fuck even gets to decide what's flawed and what's not. And if I'm able to love myself in that whole container, then I'm actually fully able to love somebody else. And I stopped butting heads with Dakota because I could love her for who she was, which is all of me. I'm loving all of myself. I'm now loving all of her, just to like bring that back into that finish thought.
That was good. Look
but
at you.
Like, right? Like, I can see her. I can see myself in her. I can, I love myself. I can love her. I can love both of those pieces, me and her, in her, around her, all of the kids. But it just so happens that I was talking about Dakota.
No. I know it's all of the kids and it is important, but I think this is mother's relationships to her children is important, period. children's relationship to their parents, both of them, is important, period. And there is something about mothers and daughters, and there's something about fathers and sons. Okay. And yeah. I'm hearing you, and I have boys, right? But, you know, for me, my thing is to ensure that I'm turning out the men that I want to see in the world, right? So I can't waste my time right now focusing on the men who are already grown, knowing what they know. Like, I could and I will always stand up against them, but I'm not going to sit here trying to convince them. I am going to say, mothers, let's focus on creating the men that we want to see with the men that we currently are growing on ours, right? On our own. So with our daughters, though, I think the opportunity to heal these relationships between mothers and daughters is so, you know, what I'm hearing you say is that there's an opportunity in this movement, in loving yourself, that it not only just makes you a better mom in general, but it also makes you a better, in better relationship to your daughter, because you can understand your pain, have more empathy for yourself, and therefore you can have more empathy for her.
And
it's huge.
It's huge. And I would take it even a further step.
Mm-hmm.
It can heal your relationship with your mother.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, because I am standing here in full, even on my darkest days, I love the shit out of myself. Like, I'm not flawed. I'm feeling all the feels, and I'm in touch with all the feels. And sometimes it might be dark, but I'm still deeply in love with myself. And so now I can look back and see my relationship with my mother was shit. I can see where she felt so deeply flawed and hated herself so much. How could she possibly show love like you're supposed to when you become
right.
a mother? But if she can't fully love and accept herself, she's putting those expectations down to me when it's really about like filling up her own cup and, you know, falling into a deeper loving relationship with herself. So it was able to heal many parts of my relationship with my mother to see that she didn't mean to be who she did or who she was. She had only the knowledge that she did.
She didn't
love herself. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I have an unrealistic expectation of her to love me in this way that she wasn't capable of.
That's so beautiful. I love it. I just got chills. I know. Look
right?
at you.
You've known it. You know what that relationship
looks
like. And it's like, there's so much freedom in that realization of like, she did what she did the best that she could.
I think though, what the chills are coming from, even though I know all of this story and I was, you know, with you for so much of this, there's still the aspect where I think what I'm realizing is that I don't still realize how big the ripple effect of this movement is,
right?
In your life, and how, you know, I often say this is way beyond just being sexy, y'all. Like, this is so far beyond that. Like, this is generational traumas being broken. Mm-hmm. This is relationships being healed that in many circumstances probably should have never or would have never have found its way back to it. Like, you were on track to just repeat what you came from, between you and your daughter, right? And this coming back to you is what helped you break that. And now she will not repeat that. And it's like, holy shit, hallelujah, motherfucker, amen, blessed be, ashe, and all the above.
1,000%. I thought I was walking into a fucking pole dancing class. I didn't know I was generational shit.
I didn't either, man. I did not either. So, okay. Aside from healing, you know, your relationship to daughter, to mother, and what other ways, because there's a lot of moms out there that listen to this. There's a lot of moms in the world, period, that are looking at me like, I want that, you know, like they're seeing me dance or seeing me, whatever. And they're like, I want that, but God, I just don't have it in me. Like, why? Like, they're tired, and I get it. They're burnt out, right? I've been there. We've been there. We're still there sometimes. what do you say to the moms who, you know, I think this is what am I trying to say? Let me narrow it down to this. Like, it's like a 14 part question, but the first part is one mom came to me and I love this question. She's like, how do you bring this in though, sustainably, sensuality into your day to day? That's what she asked. So can you tell me a little bit of that?
Let me tell you, it's the earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of where you're going, regardless of what you're doing or not doing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the clothing that you put on your body. What the hell are mm-hmm. you saving that nice shit for?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yes.
Who fucking cares?
Yes. My friend Rachel was like, buy the fucking dress. I'm like, I have nowhere to go. She's like, bitch, your kitchen is fabulous. Go there.
Right. Who cares? Okay. It is the taking 5 minutes to just stop for a second and take an inhale and realize that you're worth it.
Yeah.
So when you stop and take the 5 minutes, you're telling yourself that you're worth taking the 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In a world where everything that in your life might not be set up to tell you that you're worth it, because you're mm-hmm. busy serving children, you're busy serving a husband or wife or partner or whatever the fuck, lover, and not serving yourself. You're not bringing mm-hmm. the pleasure into yourself. And so mm-hmm. it doesn't take much. But even if I'm sitting behind a screen all day long, and I might be wearing my leggings, which I am, but let me tell you, my ass looks fucking phenomenal on those leggings. Like, no baggy shit is coming on this goddamn ass body. Like, I'm going to wear my jewelry.
Yeah.
Put on my things that make me feel good. I'm going to take the time that allows me to come back into my body and into like who I am as a sensual, sexual, erotic woman.
Yeah.
Because we did have sex to have kids, it turns out, most of the time.
Right.
Again, sometimes that's not how it goes
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us do partake in sex and enjoy it. And mm-hmm. so, like, you know, how do you bring yourself back into that body?
Right. Right. Okay. I love that. I love that. And, you know, I really do. I had a student push back once and I thought it was great. She says, yeah, but I don't want to rely on clothing to get me there. And I heard what she was saying, but the way I see it is, this is the adornment of the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You are the goddess. You are the embodiment of the goddess, her mm-hmm. energy here on earth as woman. And, you know, so we're adorning the goddess and we are, you know, anointing the goddess with our scents, and we are, you know, stroking the goddess gently as we place the lotions on our skin. So it's really the tenderness with which you are seeking from a lover, but you are bestowing upon yourself, the care with which you would want to address somebody else, or, you know, how you may want to dress your child or whatever it is that, you know, the attention to detail you pay for, it's giving yourself that. And does that mean you have to be in a ball gown every day? No, not at all. Because I do think there's days when you're allowed to intentionally swamp. And I think that's great too, taking that term from Mama Gina, right? Intentionally, like, letting yourself just be in whatever state. My other client, Sarah, calls it sweatpants energy. If that's what she feels like, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's funny, because for me, sweatpants are super sensual, because I love my baggy sweatpants. And, you know, I rock the shit out of those.
Right.
And that's what lights me up. So it's funny that for some people, it's what brings them down. For others, like for me, like, I put on my sweats and it's like a whole different feel. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I love that though. I do. I think it's making the effort, the commitment to yourself to do it. I don't think there's any really easy way to do it. I don't think it's just deciding. It's just choosing and deciding that what you have been doing is not working. So, you know, there's a piece in my course for a pure movement where I prompt them to throw out their old ass underwear. Like, you ain't gonna have like 9,000, you know, million-dollar pair of underwear, but it needs to at least go to Target or Walmart. I don't give a fuck where you go.
Right.
But just, if it's got stains, sis, if it's got holes.
Yeah, get rid of that shit.
Get rid of it. And I've been guilty, because I've been holding on. I had a bra the other day. I pulled this shit out. I was like, oh, I remember this. No, bitch, if you have to say, oh, I remember this about some undergarments, take it out. I didn't like that top, your favorite pants. No, your panties and your bra, just get rid of it. It was so stretched out. Like, I actually think my first son wasn't even born when I got this bra. Like,
I'm not. Yeah, no fucking way. Yes, get rid of that shit. No. We are not putting that on our bodies.
What? Can you say this on the air? Okay. Wait, moving right along. Anyway, tension off my situation with my old ass underwears. You are, in addition to being a sensual movement instructor, a sensual embodiment coach, you are an erotic blueprint coach. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, y'all, I love this shit Sam introduced me to. It's really fascinating. I'm going to let her tell you what it is, but I would urge you definitely, once you listen to it, to go check it out. Check out Sam, and all her information is going to be at the bottom of this, because it really is a very interesting. Yeah, let me shut the fuck up. Go ahead, tell them what it is.
It's fucking life changing. It is. Think about it as the five love languages, but for your sexual erotic self.
Love that.
So the erotic blueprints: energetic, sensual, sexual, kinky, shapeshifter. I am all the way sensual. So like, just touch me. And then if you think you're touching me enough, you're probably not. Touch me some more. Like, bring in all the sensual energy, which is phenomenal for me. I'm a toucher. But my partner might be a sexual, which is just like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Let's get this shit done and move on, which can be fun, right? Mm-hmm. But if I need touch, and he's like, let's just get the job done, there's a piece missing. You feel like you kind of can feel empty or not fully met. Your needs aren't fully met. So what I teach you is like, what is your language? What is your erotic blueprint? Mm-hmm. Amazing. You're a sensual, you're a sexual, or you're an energetic and you're a kinky. Two totally different things.
Are those all the ones?
Yeah.
There are five of them?
So it's energetic, sensual, sexual, kinky, and shapeshifter.
Right.
So energetic is, you know, like the... you need space. You can feel when somebody is coming. You're kind of met more with energy. Like, don't touch. That's as close as you can get. I can feel you, even though you can't, even though my body's not right here, I can feel you. That is an energetic. Sensual is about touch. Sexual's the wham bam, thank you, ma'am. Kink is like anything out of the box. Taboo. What's taboo? And shapeshifter is all of those. You get fed by all of those things.
So I think what I took it, I was kink, naturally. Scorpio. I was kink. And I think I was an energetic. I thought I'd be sensual. And I think I was energetic and kink.
Yeah.
Which I was really kind of surprised at.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm urging people to definitely take the quiz. Now, who created this?
Jaya. She's phenomenal. Jaya. Yeah. J-A-I-Y-A. Jaya.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And right now she's just been on Sex, Love, and Goop on Netflix.
Yes. So good.
It's so good. And you get to see how these things are played out and how they're like how you can bring this into your world. Now, I talk about it. It's about sex and what happens in the bedroom, but honestly, what happens in the bedroom is likely happening outside of the bedroom and vice versa. And these things can be brought outside of the bedroom in like how you relate to people. And it's fucking fascinating. If I realize like I have my three kids who live with me, and I'm very sensual. So like, let's hug it out all day long, every day. Touch is great. Dakota, poor Dakota. She's energetic. And when I first started studying these and I started to like look around, because when you start to learn about them, you're like, oh shit. All right. What is this person? How do I talk to this person? What do I do? I started to realize, like, I can't see her or speak to her the way that I want to be spoken to. So she doesn't mm-hmm. want a hug. She wants space. Mm-hmm. And then she'll come and find me. Mm-hmm. So if something's like happening and I want to hug her because that's what I do. I touch. I ask if I can hug her. She says no. Mm-hmm. I say, okay, and give her her space. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back around to me 10 minutes later, an hour later, whenever, when she is energetically in her space and feels like she can open up and receive a hug. Wow. It's fucking fascinating, mind blowing.
So what types of things do your clients typically come to you for blueprint coaching? Like what are the usual obstacles they're facing?
They have become dormant in their sex life. Mm-hmm. They don't, they are not playing with different things. It's kind of the same thing all the time. Okay. They don't see eye to eye. I really want to do this. You don't want to. I really like mm-hmm. this. You don't like this. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to give you what you want, but it's not working, or you're not receiving it, or you get mm-hmm. upset about it. Mm-hmm. So how I break that down is, okay, you're a kinky and I'm a sensual. Well, my turn on point is not going to be like, go ahead and smack my ass right out the gate. Mm-hmm. Whereas it might be yours. Mm-hmm. My turn on point is going to be like, can you just rub my arm a little bit? And then, mm-hmm. or, you know, like rub my backside a little bit, and then you could slowly make your way down to my ass.
Right.
Where you are maybe going to be like, take that flogger and mm-hmm. rub it across and then smack. So you're having these like opposite elements come into the bedroom together and you're like, I don't like that.
Well, see, but this is what's interesting to me, because like, well, you mentioned the five love languages, right? And, you know, I remember in the love languages, there was a part where, you know, the author addresses the fact that what if the other person isn't into that though? Like, you might be, you know, your love language might be gifts of, I forgot what it was, like
acts of service or gift
acts giving. Of service, yeah, gift giving, something like that. And this person isn't into that. And yeah. they were like, well, basically you have to get over your shit, basically, if you're going to, you have to cross the bridge halfway. So is this the same thing here? If somebody's like, say, if I'm a kink, you yep. know, and, you know, Zosimo is not, I just threw his name out there too. Yep. I think everybody knows by now. And he's not, how do we, you know, bridge that gap? If he's like, that's not my jam though, what would you do? How do you guide that conversation? We actually came to you for a little while.
Yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. First of all, you have to check your ego at the door, because mm-hmm. a lot of times somebody might be like, well, that doesn't really work for me. And the receiving person on the side of those words might be like, might take that as, oh my God, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Mm. And it's not actually about that person. It's about mm-hmm. like, here's what turns my body on. And really, when we're being partnered with somebody, we want to turn them the fuck on, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's, what fun is it if you're not being turned on? You're just kind of showing up to the job and getting it done, right? Right. Without the full pleasure of that. So how I would work with somebody like that is, let's do body language. Let's, how do you ask with your voice? Mm-hmm. Voice intonations are everything.
I agree.
Don't fucking touch me. How about you don't touch me that way? Mm-hmm. Which way do you want to receive that, right? Like,
right.
How about you, I don't know, touch my arm. I keep using that mm-hmm. as an example. But if I bite your head off, you're going to take that, you're going to take offense to it.
It's rejection.
It's rejection. And mm-hmm. then your ego's going to step in, and I did it all wrong, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm not going to try it anymore.
Yeah.
I totally fucked it up. So I work with couples, and you don't have to be coupled to do this work, by the way, mm-hmm. at all. You can be single and just working towards, what do you desire? How do you want your body to be touched? What do mm-hmm. you want in life? so I help them speak what they want. and mm-hmm. and like do it in a manner in which it's not telling you that you're doing it wrong, but I'm empowering you to do it the way that feels good to my body. And mm-hmm. in turn, that person's like stoked because they're seeing their partner light up, right? Because yeah. they're starting to take these ideas that are given to them, laid mm-hmm. out by their partners. Does mm-hmm. that
No, it totally. Yeah. It makes sense. Do you ever have a situation? Yeah, obviously you can't give me details, but do you ever have a situation or have you had a situation where it's just, they're not compatible?
If they're not compatible, I have not had a situation where they're not compatible because mm-hmm. there are ways that you can become compatible. Mm-hmm. If there's a lot of resistance, then it's likely that they are hung up on a bunch of shit that's happened in the past and have not or let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, granted, you could be not compatible, but there are ways, I think, to work out if you want to. You have to put in the work. It takes work. But there are ways to work out, like, being on the same page, working out and being on the same level, you know,
you mentioned earlier when you said it's often not just about, you know, the sex, that it's more of a deeper issue. So I think, you know, can you give an example of like what you mean? Like people come to you and they're like, you know, we don't have a great sex life. What is the reveal? what do you actually find out?
Well, how's your communication outside of sex?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's like, oh, well, you're not even communicating about the day to day. So mm-hmm. now you want to come in and like all of a sudden have this crazy epic sex life, except you guys mm-hmm. are hardly connected all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's like taking small steps of connection or communication outside of, in order to take it into the bedroom and have you connect yeah. on a deeper level. Because women in particular, and I just can speak to that more because I've studied women more and obviously I'm a mm-hmm. woman, we want to feel safe. Mm-hmm. So if we're not safe outside of the bedroom, you want us to like lay down and relinquish our bodies to you to do whatever you want. I mean, that doesn't feel great. No, thank you. Not unless I'm in a super daring mood and like willing to put my body in your hands. But, mm-hmm. you know, if there's not safety or comfort or security outside, it's hard to bring that into the bedroom.
I think that's really important too. I mean, this is not new and it's been a theme forever, but I feel like I'm seeing more and more, you know, of course, in TikTok land, videos of moms. In particular, right? Not just women in relationship, but moms in relationship, in marriage, whatever it may be, just expressing that, you know, there's no way in fucking hell. And I've been there myself, that I feel like getting sexy at the end of a day mm-hmm. when you know, especially if you're, you know, whether you're working, not even especially if you're a working mom or stay at home mom, it is a full-time job. Either way, you're working 24/7 in a sense is how it feels. Right. And sometimes literally how it is, if you've got the kids who don't sleep at night and what have you. And it is, it's an on the go thing all the time. So the last thing on our minds is wanting to get sexy. But what I hear, and this was interesting because this was a discovery for me in the last several years, is I don't think I had words to put around it, was we want intimacy though first.
Yes.
Okay. We want intimacy though first. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is a piece that maybe some of us aren't even able to articulate, mm-hmm. you know, and for our significant others, be they men, women, non-binary, whomever they are, the other energy that you are intimate with, for them to be able to provide the intimacy for you and not see it as too long of an on-ramp to ultimately get what they want. Yeah. And I think that's what turns us off, is that there, you know, even if there is, it's like, you know, there's a motherfucking agenda though.
Totally. Oh, she wants you a hug. Great. It's happening.
Keep
tonight.
Your hand above the line, motherfucker. Just give me a hug. Not a hug and an ass cheek squeeze. That's not what I asked for yet.
I experienced that too for a long time. Like, I just need a hug. Now, if you can actually give me a hug that doesn't have an ass squeeze, mm-hmm. I am probably way, way more likelier to hop in bed with you.
Yes, that's the shit that kills me.
Right.
Like, it's proven, like, actually.
I'm gonna be fucking turned on because you just gave me a goddamn hug, like a real hug. And I just felt that safety. And I felt like, oh, you just got me. We could totally go fuck now.
So I just watched your body. I just actually watched your body. So when you watch this one day, eventually, when this actually airs into a show, Sam's body, when she said, I just want a hug and you got me, and her body actually like collapsed into this imaginary person in front of her. There was a surrender in her body. And that surrender is key to us warming up everything else.
Yes.
But if we are constantly in go mode, or operating in our divine masculine, you know, the outer energy, whether that be, you know, having to constantly be in the brain, constantly in the go, constantly in the strategy, and not allowed to be enough in our feeling because it's not safe enough there. There's not enough time to access this there. You know, you can't expect us to just flip a switch, but this is a constant thing that's been going on for fucking ever. I saw another video on TikTok.
Real good at TikTok.
No, really you need terrible. To not. You need to stay the fuck away from it, because I literally am like about to put myself on a serious, like just a strike. It has to stop. It's just bad. But anyway, I'm having too much fun, but it keeps me way, way too much of my time there. But this one video, this woman described this beautifully. She says, you want her to open up to you, then do this. And she basically, no, it wasn't on TikTok. It was actually, it was on Instagram, and it was written. There you go. There's something different.
Oh,
he describes about how to actually take care of her.
Oh yeah. Oh, I remember.
Okay. Did you see this? Right. And she talks about, you know, drawing the bath, but not just drawing the bath for her, like scrubbing the bath, making sure there's no hair, there's no debris, so that her mind isn't going to, oh, that needs to be clean. Like, she's just in a clean tub. Making sure the kids are somewhere and they are taken care of, and no one is going to come in and ask her for shit, right? Have the glass of wine ready. I mean, they really explained it, right? And what I'm hearing is, I mean, she right down to like the massage, you know, drying her off, but don't touch her breast. And don't, I remember she said explicitly, yes, do not touch her in the erogenous zones. Keep it just a massage to relax her and let her decide where she wants to take it. Yep. But what I'm hearing that is there's a certain amount of cherishing that needs to happen there. That's a cherishing of another human being.
Well, it's honoring them as something more than a sexual creature.
Or the person who takes care of your stuff.
Right. Like, we are humans. And, mm-hmm. you know, this is, the fascinating thing too, is that there are many women who are sexual erotic mm-hmm. creatures, which was something really incredible to learn. Like, I got to witness a man who is sensual, and he mm-hmm. was mismatched in a relationship. Like, she just didn't get it. She mm-hmm. like he felt too much. And then, you know, there's the woman who's like sexual, and we've kind of like split it off to that. You know, mm-hmm. only men are really sexual and only women are really sensual and emotional, which is not entirely true. But, you know, you're like, we need to be cherished as single human beings that are not giving something to somebody else. They're not doing something. It's not about sex. It's not what we want from that person. It's just mm-hmm. like, you're a human and I treasure you and I love you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, give this to you with no expectations. Mm-hmm. We kind of live mm-hmm. in a world though, where it's like, if we're giving, we're expecting something back.
Always.
Yeah. Which doesn't work. And for moms mm-hmm. in particular, you know, I give all day long. The last thing I want you to do is to touch me and expect something out of me at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's not a healthy space to be in. I was in it for a long time and I'm not in it now, but it's not healthy. You know, no. Because obviously, like, I hope you derive pleasure from having sexual experiences. If not, then there's some work and some healing to be done around that. But, you know, like, I want to be cherished as a human that is not a mother, that is not a sexual creature, but just like a beautiful woman that I am.
Amen.
We need it.
Hallelujah. Blessed be.
And for fuck's sake, then you'll probably get laid after that goddamn bath because it was so thoughtful. Right?
You know, it's not rocket science, but here we are. You know, so we're coming. God, I can't believe an hour has already passed. There's so many, like, I have like 19 more questions I want to ask you. Listen, y'all, if you want to know more about the erotic blueprints, please go find Sam. She's an excellent coach. You can take the quiz for free, actually. But do go. I was so inspired by them. I did not complete the entirety of the programming with Sam, but I was so inspired by what I did learn from her that I referenced them in the Pure Movement Manual because I thought it was such an excellent way that Jaya broke it down for women to use it as it pertains to understanding their energy first and how they dance and how they want to move and how does this energy influence how I dress, how I move, everything, the music I choose. If I'm kink, do I want music that's going to actually serve that and so forth? So I think it's miraculous work and you definitely should check it out. The next question I would really love you before our final question. I think this is what's been a topic that's been fascinating to me. And it came up recently again with another client. And when you do the work that we do, okay, sensual embodiment coaches, sensual movement instructors, sex coaches, our list is going to keep going. All the things that we do, sex educators is next, right? For you and I. How do you enroll your children, or do you, in what you do? And I know the story. I know how open you have always been, but you know, I know for me, I'm going to be very honest. This has been a personal struggle with me because I had boys that I was always concerned people were going to, you know, pick on them. They were going to say, you know, all kinds of crazy. Your mom is a stripper. Your mom does this, you know, not that I have anything wrong with it. I would own that shit proudly, but I wasn't trying to have them like, you know, not get invited to places.
Yeah.
Because, and part of that, I think also was because I remember back in the days, you know, our mentor speaking to how she struggled, you know, in her community with people not understanding and it coming back on her kids a little bit with what she did. So I think I took that with me and I created a story around it, that this was going to be the case all the time for me here. So I kept a little bit, it's not that they didn't know what I did, but they weren't really clear. So a lot of times I remember them telling their teachers when their teachers were curious, what does your mom do? And he would say, you know, she's a yoga teacher. He said for a really long time. And they're like, what kind of yoga does your mama teach?
Ish.
I mean, you knew there was there was always been a pole in the house. He's always they've played on the pole. I even think my oldest went and saw me dance back in Los Angeles when he was probably about 4 at one of our demo classes.
Yes.
Yeah. But the poor thing, he cried. My mother said through the whole thing because I was dancing with my eyes closed and rolling around on the floor. And he goes, what's wrong with mom? She won't open her eyes. Help her up off the floor, grandma.
So sad.
He was so upset. He's like, she's just dancing, baby. She's okay. He's like, she won't get off the floor. Help her up. She's going so slow. She doesn't look okay. Oh my God. I'll never forget it. Anyway, so, but since then, I hadn't really spoken about it. What was your deal? How did you enroll what you do with your kids?
Oh God. I don't even know that anything in particular happened. For a long time, I actually used to wear 2 different hats. Like, I leave the house, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this job. Now I've left that job and I'm coming back into mom mode. And the separation of the two actually started to cause so much turmoil internally because this job was getting the better of me because it was like who I truly was.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom job was not getting the best version of me, not because I didn't love it, but because like I was lit the fuck up in this. So I started to,
it wasn't the whole of you over here.
It wasn't. And so I started to melt those two together, and something, I wish that I could pinpoint what happened, because sitting at my dining room table now is like, I should record it all the time to hear the kind of shit that comes out of my kids' mouths. Because I think they say like really obscene things to see what kind mm-hmm. of response they'll get out of me. And mm-hmm. so I'll meet them back with something that like tops them off a little bit.
Right.
That, you know, they're kind of like, okay, what? This is over. It's done. But I live in a space of, I just don't hide it from them.
Mm-hmm.
They listen. I mean, shit, on TikTok, forget about what they're learning about. And is half of it true? I don't even know, because I'm not well-versed in TikTok. On songs, music, the music, maybe mm-hmm. it was happened with the music. I never hid music from them. Mm-hmm. And so I remember the kids being younger and asking me, why do we always listen to music with bad words in it? And I'm like, well, because this is how the song was made and it sounds better. And
right.
They're kind of like, yeah, you're right. You know, they like the radio version of a song and it's like bleeped out every other word right. or every five right. words or whatever. So I just came from like this open space of, I want you to talk to me. I'm mm-hmm. here. I want you to learn from me. I have knowledge that I can give mm-hmm. you. And so, you know, I guess I'd probably like poke a little bit with questions like, hey, so are you dating anybody? Do you like girls, guys? What's the deal? And then be like, oh, mom, ew, don't even. That's still the response that I get, even though I talk right. about everything. But I think, live in a space that I'm open. Mm-hmm. Like they'll often hear me be like, oh man, my ass looks great in these pants.
Yes.
Like, oh geez.
No, that's important. That's powerful.
Right?
That's important. I didn't hear that from my mother. I heard the opposite. I heard her tearing herself up and it was heartbreaking. So I think that's really important. They Sam, don't... tell go yeah. ahead. Go ahead, what you say.
Just I really think that's what it is. I'm open yeah. about these things. And so it leads to an open space for them to be open for themselves, to figure out what they like or what they want or what sex even looks like.
You spoke to how it helped with the relationship to your daughters. How has this helped the boys that you're raising?
Oh my God. I have the most incredible, respectful young men. Mm-hmm. I'm so lucky. And I really, truly, it's not something I said to them. And I don't believe it's a way that I talked to them or raised them. It's a way that I live present in my body.
Mm.
I hold myself in such high regards
mm-hmm.
that they see that energy flows, whether they see it or like, you know, truly pay attention to it or mm-hmm. whether they hear it. It is an energy, an air of confidence or an air of deep love and respect that I have for myself that goes down into them. Now, there are ways that I've raised them, like mm-hmm. you open the door for a woman. So mm-hmm. I'm a fast walker. So I'll walk mm-hmm. up to a business and be at the business a couple feet before them, probably. Mm-hmm. I'll wait at the door. And I'll wait for them to open the door. And I won't let my daughters open the door, who are probably also side by side with me. Mm-hmm. But I'll wait to make sure that the boys open the door.
Mm, I love that.
Because it's important. And so I got super lucky because my boys are really, and it's not luck, actually, now that I say that. That's a little bit of a lie. How I hold myself is how they witness mm-hmm. how you're supposed to hold a woman.
Mm.
And that's what I believe. And so they respect, they give compliments, mm-hmm. they pay attention. Mm-hmm. They don't say stupid shit that I've heard some mm-hmm. boys say. And part of that is like, I'll come to them after and be like, if I ever hear you say that kind of shit about a woman, I'll kill you with my own bare hands. That's you know, it's, I could talk about it for hours, but.
I love it. No, it's so good. It's just so good. I really we could talk forever. Do you have any last words of advice for the moms? Because this episode really was dedicated to my mamas out there that are just feeling like they cannot find their way sexy back, that they think sexy's done for them, that feeling, not looking, y'all, like get rid of the look, just get into the feeling. Okay.
Yeah.
What are your last pieces of advice, guidance, what? If they're struggling to find their way there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if your moms, how would you want your daughters to be in their bodies? How would you want your kids? What would you tell your friends? So all of that wisdom that you would pass on to somebody else, you have to give to yourself first. So mamas, take a minute and take a breath and like celebrate the shit out of yourself. Celebrate that you got out of bed. Celebrate that you put on you put on some earrings.
Yes.
You got a motherfucking lacy ass beautiful bra on underneath your sweatshirt.
Yes.
Celebrate that.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Beautiful. Okay. Last question. You are having an incredibly special once in a lifetime dinner. You get to invite any three people you want. They can be entities, not even like human. It could be an energy. It could be historical. It could be fictional person. It could be dead, alive. Does not matter. Three. Who is it?
Three. Oh my God. Oh, who would it be? I would probably want to sit down with Oprah.
Ooh, yes. I feel like no one's invited Oprah yet. I definitely would.
Yeah, no, I want to hear the wisdom of that woman. Fascinatingly, I would like to, I would sit down with my daughter, Dakota, because she's pretty wise. She has a lot of good knowledge in that 16-year-old brain of hers.
Yes.
And who else? Oh my God, I don't even know. I mean, just because I think that dinner would be like ridiculously hot and amazing, I would probably want to sit down with Chris Hemsworth because I just.
So you have Oprah, Chris, and Dakota.
Yeah.
I love it.
Totally random, right? I don't know.
No, people have invited Jesus to the table with like rappers. I mean, it's been wild. You don't know. All kinds of people have been at this dinner. So there's really nothing you can say that could be wild to me at all. Entities have shown up. I think somebody said, I want some spirit.
yeah, why not?
I love it. I love it. My beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bestie. I love you so very much, sister. Thank you for coming on and imparting your wisdom and sharing your light and your motherfucking inspiration, your determination that I saw since day one. This woman don't give up when she gets her mind set on something.
Nope.
She said, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm like, yes, I know, but just give it some time. No, I'm going to do that now. I'm like, oh, okay, you go do that. And she did. So yes, thank you so much for coming on. Y'all do look in the show notes for her information. Her website information will be listed, her erotic blueprint coaching, her sensual movement coaching. She has classes running for you. She can teach you privately. There's numerous ways to work with this incredible woman. So please do yourselves a favor. You know, I promote everyone, because I'm a firm believer that because one person's voice does not click with you, you should not give up, right? Yes, absolutely. We should all be looking to do this work for ourselves internally. The answer is there, but some of us need help and some of us need guidance back to ourselves. And that's what Sam and I do. We're not there to tell you what to do. We're help guide you back to yourself, right? Guide you back to your body. And, you know, I feel like I promote these people because if it's not me, it could be them. And I want it to be a voice that, you know, everybody has a voice that I feel acts as the key that unlocks something for them. So if it's not my voice, it could be Sam. So do reach out to her. I love you. And I love you. And I love you.
I love you. I love you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yay!
Thank you for listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast with me, your host, Anjua Maximo. If you're ready to dive into this work of developing your connection to your goddess energy, of removing those obstacles standing in your way, please reach out at info@anjuamaximo.com, or you can check out my courses available and my private coaching at www.anjuamaximo.com. Be good to you, be good to each other.